If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I'm excited to bring you God's Word today. We'll be looking from Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. We've been doing a sermon series, as you know, entitled A Faith That Works. A Faith That Works. Because a faith that doesn't work, a faith that is theoretical only, is of no value to us, is it? And so thank God we have a faith that works. Amen? I'll say it again, maybe get a little stronger response. I said, thank God we have a faith that works this morning. Amen. In the real world. Amen. All right. The title, you know the messages. I won't recount them all, but we talked about a genuine faith, a victorious faith, an unshakable faith. That was one of my favorites, a faith that can't be shaken. And this morning, I want to look at a fireproof faith. Fireproof faith. If you look online, I just Googled fireproofing. And that is a multi-billion dollar industry. And of course, continually new technologies are being developed, new building materials are put together to be fire resistant or fireproof, because obviously in the natural world fire can do great destruction. So fireproofing is very important. And in the passage here in Daniel 3, I'm not going to read the first 15 verses. We'll pick up with verse 16. But here in the first 15 verses, three Jewish young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are faced with a dilemma. They're in exile with the other Jews, and King Nebuchadnezzar built a huge statue, a huge idol, a golden image, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. And there's speculation as to who the statue was a statue of. Some say it was of Nebuchadnezzar's father. Some say it was of Nebuchadnezzar himself. Others say it was of the god that they worship, Nabu. But at any rate, this golden statue was set up, and the command went forth at the dedication ceremony with all the officials gathered that when the musicians would play, that everyone must bow and kneel before this golden idol. And of course, as devout Jews, devout men of God, this was something that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could not do and would not do, because the scriptures were very clear that they were to worship Jehovah God alone. And so word was taken back to the king that these men wouldn't bow. They were brought into the king's presence, and they were given one more opportunity to bow before this idol. And we begin the story with their response to that ultimatum. But before I get into the story, I just want to mention that, you know, in Scripture, fire is a metaphor for the trials we go through in our Christian life. You know that. We talk about going through the flood and through the fire. And boy, this is a time we feel like, collectively, don't we? Like we're going through the fire with COVID-19 and just life routines that are just upended for we don't know how long. You all know the story. And so And then the personal things we go through, the various individuals we mentioned during our prayer time, and we all have our own individual struggles. And boy, sometimes we feel like we're going through the fire, don't we? We feel like the heat is on, as they say. But I believe that we can glean from this story how that we can have a faith that's fireproof, a faith that the fire can't burn up, a faith the fire can't destroy, amen? A faith that will withstand the hottest flame, so to speak, the most severe trials, the heaviest burdens, the most difficult and trying circumstances. I believe, and I submit to you this morning, we can have a faith that is fireproof, that can endure throughout all of these things. How many believe that this morning? And so we're going to use this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to answer the question the next few minutes. What must we understand to have a fireproof faith? What must we understand to have a fireproof faith? The first thing we see that we need to understand is this. Faith won't exempt you from fire. It will take you through the fire. Faith will not exempt you from fire. It will take you through the fire. Look at verse number 16 of Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Well, we see what happened here. Their response to the king's ultimatum was threefold. First of all, we do not need to defend ourselves. Don't you love that? Isn't there a great security in knowing that the creator of the universe is your defender? We do not need to defend ourselves. Secondly, they said, God can and will rescue us. You talk about faith. They said, God's going to rescue us from this blazing flame. And as it says, it was heated 7 times hotter than normal, you know, as if the king was so enraged, you know, a normal flame wouldn't kill them fast enough. It had to be 7 times hotter. But they said, our God's going to defend us. But listen what they said. Thirdly, they said, and know this, O king, even if our God doesn't save us, even if we perish, even if we burn up in those flames, we're still not going to bow down to your idol. Well, you talk about faith. How many know that goes beyond the theoretical by a long shot? And so they were willing to be thrown into the flame. You know, Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 16, don't be surprised at the fiery trial you find yourself in. We feel like the heat is on. The Word of God says, don't be surprised by that. That's called life, isn't it? And so we need to be ready to go in the flame. So they were ready. And I love how it describes them being thrown in. It describes their clothing. Their trousers, turbans, other clothes, bound and thrown into the fiery furnace. I believe the writer here did that to emphasize that, they weren't wearing a best of suits, okay? They were wearing normal, everyday, flammable clothes. And they were thrown into the furnace, and the account said the blaze was so hot that the men throwing them in, Nebuchadnezzar's men throwing them in, were killed by the heat of the flame. You see, the truth of the matter is faith won't exempt you from going through fire. It won't exempt me from going through fire. It will take us through the fire. Do we have a faith strong enough to make us willing to go through the fire? That's the question this morning. You say, well, why would a loving God allow me? And keep in mind, fire is a metaphor for our trials and our suffering. Why would a loving God allow me to suffer? Why would a loving God allow trials in my life? Does a loving God allow diseases? Why does He allow financial difficulties and other problems in our lives? It's because He has a purpose in allowing those things in our lives. How many know God is making something out of us? And the trials, the furnaces that we find ourselves in, they are God's tools to make of us what He wants to make. Heard a story about a customer who was in a china shop. And he noticed two sets of china, and they had basically identical patterns on each set. The only difference between the two sets is one had a white background. I think it was flower-type pattern on it. One had a white background. The other had a yellow-type background. And the yellow background pattern, china, was much more expensive than the pattern with the white on it. And he asked the shopkeeper, he said, you know, these, except for the background color, these look exactly the same to me. Why is the yellow, the china with the yellow background, why is it so much more expensive? The shopkeeper said, because the china with the white background went through the kiln one time. The china with the yellow background had to go through the kiln twice. It had to go through the fire twice. It was a more involved process. And what that says to you and to me is, the greater the flame, the greater the trial, the more valuable result God wants to bring about in our life. God wants to make something beautiful out of your life and my life. Amen? And how does He do that? He uses the flames. He uses the trials to make us into something beautiful, a showpiece for His glory. I like what Ephesians says. It says, we are His workmanship. We are His works of art. God is making something out of us. And the greater the flame, the more beautiful the outcome. Hallelujah. As somebody once said, God doesn't make junk. Amen? And so you and I need to remind ourselves as we go through the flame, as we go through the trial, God, You are allowing me, You are perfecting my faith, You are making something out of my life that can be done by no other process. So Lord, do what You want to do in my life, even through this fiery trial. Amen? Faith won't exempt you from fire. It will take you through the fire to accomplish God's purpose. What's the second thing we find here that we have to understand to have a fireproof faith? It's this: you're never alone in the furnace. Aren't you thankful for that? You may go through the fire, you may find yourself in the furnace, but you are never alone in the furnace. In verses 24 and 25, it says this: then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Now, what's going on here? Well, Nebuchadnezzar, just what it says, they threw three men in, and he saw four men walking around. And he said, that fourth one looks like a son of the gods. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan. He was saying, it looks like some sort of heavenly being, you know, one of the lesser beings of heaven. But what it was the pre-incarnate Christ. It was the very Son of God. And there are various examples throughout the Old Testament where the pre-incarnate Christ came and appeared to men. Later on in verse 28, he calls him an angel. But an angel is a messenger, a representative of God. So this was literally Christ, God in His pre-incarnate flesh coming to be with them in the fiery furnace. Isn't that awesome? And they should have been instantly burned up. Instead, they're getting some exercise. Hallelujah. They're walking around in the furnace, and God Almighty is with them. Isn't that awesome? Can I tell you something today, church? Whether you're here in the sanctuary or watching online, you may feel like you're in the hottest fire you've ever been in. You may feel like the flame is seven times hotter than normal. You may feel like there's no way out, there's no deliverance, there's no answer to your prayers. But I want you to know you're not alone in the furnace today. Almighty God is with you. He promised in His Word, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. God is with you in the fire. Praise His holy name. You're not alone. You're not alone today. Say, Pastor Tim, but I feel alone. I don't feel Him there. You know, sometimes we don't feel His presence. Sometimes we feel all alone. But it's during those times, when we need to trust in Him. We need to walk by faith. The Word of God says we walk by faith and not by sight. Isn't that right? Thank you for that underwhelming response. I said the Word of God says we walk by faith and not by sight. And we've talked about this many times before. We become slaves to our feelings and our emotions sometimes. And God created us as emotional beings. There's nothing wrong with that. But our emotions are not a good barometer of reality all the time. Amen? The Word of God is true, church. The Word of God is true in all that it declares. And God said He would be with you in the fiery furnace. And sometimes we don't feel Him. But you know what I found? During my period in the furnace, during my period going through the flames, God lets me know just when I need it most that He's there. You found that to be true? Heard a story about a boy in Pakistan who was flying his kite very, very high. And he was flying it so high that you couldn't even see it. And a man came by and asked him, he said, how do you know your kite is up there? You can't even see it. Little boy said, it's simple. He said, every once in a while, I feel a little tug on my string. And you know what, church? We can't see God sometimes. We don't necessarily discern His presence sometimes. But I'm thankful that every once in a while there's a little tug on my heart. There's a little tug on my heart. There's that little reassuring word. There's that voice in the darkness. And there's that presence of God that reaches out to me in the fiery furnace that lets me know that my God is there and He's with me. And this morning, if you feel like you're in the furnace and it's hotter than ever before, I want you to know that your Creator, your loving Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is with you. And He will not forsake you. Hallelujah! Thank God for His presence. You may be in the furnace today, but you're not alone. God is with you. What's the third thing we need to understand to have a fireproof faith? It's this, that fires don't have to be fatal. Hallelujah. Fires don't have to be fatal. Look at verse 26. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed, their robes were not scorched, there was no smell of fire on them. All these leaders that were there, these VIPs, they crowded around them. Well, I guess they did. Nobody had ever come out of a fiery furnace before, right? They'd never seen that before. Usually guys go into the furnace and, you know, especially heated that hot, very few remain, survive, and they certainly don't come walking out. They came walking out, and they examined them. Their clothes weren't burnt. Their hair wasn't singed. They said there wasn't even the smell of smoke on them. That's as great a miracle to me as anything. I tell you what, you know, you just walk past people who are smoking for about 10 seconds, and you got the smell of smoke on you. You know what I mean? There was no evidence that they'd been in the fire because Almighty God brought them out. It says in Isaiah, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. church this morning, your time in the fire will not last forever. Your fiery trial will come to an end, and the Lord will bring you out of that fire. Your fire does not have to be fatal. I know that it's human nature. When things happen, we don't understand. There's a lot happening right now we don't understand, but we were not prepared for. It's human nature to despair, to say, what is to become of me? What is to happen in my life? And to be tempted to give up and this, say, this is the end. Let me tell you, you may be in a fiery furnace, but fire does not have to be fatal. That fire does not have to burn you up. Hallelujah. Heard a story about a group of pioneers back in the 1800s making their way across one of the central states to a distant place that had been opened up for homesteading. They traveled in covered wagons drawn by oxen. The progress was slow. And one day they were horrified to see in front of them a long line of smoke stretching for miles across the prairie. And it was soon evident that the dried grass was burning fiercely. The fire was approaching them. And they had just crossed through an extended process, a body of water, just a river just behind them. It was very difficult. The fire was coming rapidly. They had no time to go back and cross the river, and they feared for their lives. And one man had an idea. He said, let's light an area right here near us. Let's light that area on fire. And so they did that. The extended area, and the fire burned, and it burned out, and there was nothing but charred remains. And they got behind that line, and he said, that fire will come to this burned out place, and it will burn out. It won't cross that line, and we'll be saved. And that's exactly what happened. You see, and what a picture that is of us in Christ. We may feel like we're in the fiery furnace, but God protects us so that fire will not burn us up. Hallelujah. God will bring you through your fiery trial. It may have been a long time. You may think, you know, I don't know if I can stand another day. I don't know if I can get through another moment of this fiery trial, but I'm here to tell you today, that fire does not have to be fatal in your life. God can and will bring you through. What he did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the natural, he can do for you in the spiritual. Hallelujah. Amen. How many have had God bring you through some fires? How many have had God bring you unharmed out of the furnace? Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God will bring you through the fire this morning. You can have a fireproof faith. What's the fourth principle we need to understand to have a fireproof faith? It's this: you can come out of the fire better than before. You can come out better on the other end of the fire than you were before. Verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into a pile of rubble, for no God can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So their lot was improved when it was all said and done in two important ways. First of all, they were given the freedom to worship. Nebuchadnezzar might not have been the brightest guy in the world, but he was smart enough to realize that any God that can deliver three men unharmed out of a fiery furnace, he must be a God worth worshiping. Nebuchadnezzar was smart enough to figure that out, and he said they have freedom to worship their God. And then secondly, they were given elevated political standing. They were, promoted in the province of Babylon. They were given freedom. They were exalted. They were lifted up as a result of their trial. Remember the story of Job? Boy, Job is the poster boy for suffering, isn't he? Everything taken from him, his family, his health, everything except his nagging wife. And his three miserable friends. What a miserable life. But you know what it says in the very last chapter of Job? It says the end of Job was better than the beginning. See, that's the way our God works. There are trials I have faced in my life. I would have never asked to face them. I would never want to go through them. And you know, on the other side, I wouldn't trade them for anything, because God's brought me through the trial better on the back end than I was beforehand. How many can relate to that this morning? You've heard it said about the process of refining gold and precious metals. And the process is those metals are heated to the boiling point. They become liquefied, and the impurities rise to the top, and they are scooped out. And that is called refining the gold, or refining the metal. And it makes it purer. It makes it better than it was before. And that's what God does through you and me. He makes us better than we were before. Heard a story about William Carey, who was an established pioneer missionary in India. And his supporters in England sent a printer to assist him. And soon the two men were turning out Bible portions for distribution. He'd spent many years learning the languages and the dialects of India and the grammar. And so he was producing copies of the Bible, printing them on the printing press, and producing them for the local populace. And while he was away one day, a fire broke out and completely destroyed the building, the presses, the many Bibles, the manuscripts, dictionaries, grammars, everything. When he returned home, he was told of the tragic loss. His complete work just burned up. And he, instead of showing signs of despair or impatience, however, he knelt and thanked God that he still had the strength to do his work again. And so he started immediately, not wasting a moment in self-pity. And in England, they heard about his plight, and it sparked an interest. And people there sent more money and materials than he ever had received. And before his death, he had duplicated and even improved on his earlier achievements. The end was better than the beginning. He was better after the fire than he was before the fire. Because that's what our God does. Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, hallelujah, and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future, hallelujah. And if you find yourself in the fiery furnace today, I want you to know that you can come out better on the back end than you were on the front end. That God can use what seems like a tragedy, what seems like an unbearable trial, God can use that to perfect you and refine you and bring you out new and improved and better on the back end than you were in the front end. When we have a fireproof faith, that's what our God does. This morning, as we bring this message to a close, I believe God wants to build in us a fireproof faith. A faith that is tested in the fire and comes through. Hallelujah. We need to understand to have that faith won't exempt you from fire. It will take you through the fire. We have to be realistic. We have to understand that. We're not exempt from fiery trials. We know that, don't we? It takes us through the fire. But thank God we're never alone in the furnace. Right now, with whatever trial you're in, your God is with you. Can we just thank Him for that? Thank you, Lord, that you're with us. Hallelujah. This morning, fires don't have to be fatal. Your fiery trial will come to an end. God will bring you out. And what you thought would destroy you will only improve you. You can come out better on the back end of that trial, of that fiery furnace. I love what Joseph said to his brothers after God brought him through his ordeal. You did what you did to harm me, but God blessed me through that trial. God meant it for good. For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Hallelujah.